And joining us fresh off practice is Tyson Chandler of your Dallas Mavericks.
Hey, Tyson.
Are you tweeting or anything?
Good.
What are you doing?
No. I'm just making sure my godson is ready for the bowling event tonight.
Oh, okay.
Bowling, huh?
Yeah.
Nice.
So you don't send photos of yourself and stuff like that?
No.
Have I missed that story where Tyson Chandler was caught with a full pose in front of a mirror or something?
No? But I bet you I get a lot of head stuff if I did.
Wow. That's confidence.
Are you a social networker?
No. I, you know, I'm a start, though.
Are you?
I'm going to start getting involved a little better.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, a little better than I've been in the past.
You think you're missing something on Twitter? You have interesting things to say?
Yeah, man. You know, I got so much to say. I had a little blog on and everything like that. I had some good followers. And, you know, I feel like my tweets should just, you know, just be so up there that I need to get them out there.
Yeah. All right. We agree. We need that. Dude, it's nice to have you in town. I think you're incredibly well-received. It's always good to come to a city that really marvels at big men who can play a little bit. If you follow Shaq into the Lakers or something like that, the bar is high with the Mavericks. Congratulations on coming to a place, and everyone instantly says, "Here's the greatest big man we've ever had on the roster." So well done there, and good destination selection on your part.
Man, yeah, you know, it's been incredible being here. You know, this has always been a place that I've wanted to have an opportunity to play. Great city, great fans, great organization, and now, you know, still coming here at a time where, you know, contender, so it could have worked out better.
I find that interesting because I've heard you say that before, that you always kind of saw this team from afar. We remember you seeing this team while hanging from the rim for like the 30th time of the game. That New Orleans series you had, and I guess Chris Paul had, but we just remember you so dominating this team and setting a dunk record that I would imagine when you looked at the Mavericks, you're like not admiring them, but almost laughing at them at the time. I mean, you dominated them.
But you know what? I felt like, you know, coming here, I can bring something to the table that that the Mavs have been missing. You know, all across the board, you know, I felt like this has always been a great team. Great, you know, offensive players, just great skill set. And I felt like, you know, coming here, being defensive-minded, if I could just get guys to buy in, you know, to the other end, you know, sky would, you know, really be the limit. And, you know, we still got some progress that we have to make, obviously, but I feel like we're kind of taking the strides in the right direction.
Well, that's weird. Think back to that now, because you guys were the next big thing, New Orleans.
Yeah.
The Mavs are on the way out.
Yeah, you know, but the thing is, being there, when I got there, I had basically, you know, spoken to some people in the organization. They're like, "Look, you got a couple years here to, you know, attempt to do something special, and then, you know, it's gonna be broken up. You know, they're gonna break this thing up." And you know, we had a couple years to get there. We got close 1 year, and then after that, you know, I knew the time was limited. You know, financial reasons and, you know, cap room and all that, and you know, I was the one to go. So, you know, it was good to land back here. Into a place where, you know, I really felt like I can contend.
You were traded last year, right?
Yeah.
But then, so...
Well, you had that weird trade with Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
I bet you wonder all the time how things might have been different there, right?
No, you know what? I think the only time I wonder is, you know, this summer when we played together on the USA team with Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, you know, got a lot of questions in, and, you know, we hung out a lot, so they would always bring it up, like, man, you know, we're supposed to be teammates and this and that.
Well, you talk about exactly what they need. It's a pretty neat trick for you that you look at a bunch of teams across the league and they all kind of, wow, we might be a Tyson Chandler away from being really good. And you could say, okay, well, this team and this team and this team, that's a good trick. You probably have some value, son.
It's good to be wanted a little bit.
Yeah, right? you're going to be okay when free agency hits, I think.
Why'd you fail that physical? What was that?
It was a toe injury. I was out with an ankle injury at the time, and that's the reason why, you know, I struggled with last year, coming back, you know, early and this and that. But on the physical, it was listed as a toe injury. So, I mean, it's...
Was that like their second thoughts or something? Because it seemed like we knew you were kind of injured, and if you're trading for Tyson Chandler, you know what you're kind of getting, but...
Yeah, I don't. I was just as. It's just the look on your face right now is the look I had.
You were perplexed by.
It's the look I had when I found out that the trade didn't go through. And
did you have to fly there and then fly back?
You know, we were actually playing against them. We were playing against Oklahoma City that night when they traded me. So they,
well, that's lucky.
Yeah. So luckily, I didn't have to go through all that. I think it was GM, our assistant GM, came, picked me up in a hotel, ran through physicals. I was going back to pack some bags because they were going on a road trip, and I was headed to the airplane, and then my agent called me and was like, don't get on the plane, and I'm like, what? He's, don't get on the plane. You know, some things are going through with the trade. Go back home. You know, I'll call you in a couple hours. You know?
That's got to be a weird feeling.
Sounds like lost. Don't get on the plane.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you're traded, like you said, you go there willingly because you're wanted. You feel wanted. When you're traded, fail your physical and go back, now you're going somewhere where you're obviously not wanted.
Yeah.
They just traded you.
Now, did you feel your time had ran out in New Orleans? Or
no, you know what? In all honesty, me and my teammates, the coaching staff, were so close. I knew it wasn't a situation where anybody in the locker room wanted me gone. You know, I was close. Like I said, I was really close with my teammates, really close. Chris, David, Paige, you know, coach. So I knew it was a financial situation. So I knew it wasn't a situation where I wasn't giving them the production or they felt like they were getting something better. I mean, if you look at the pieces they were trading me for, it was obvious, you know, cap reasons. And everybody in our locker room was upset. And, you know, when the trade rescinded and I came back, you know, guys, you know, were happy to have me back. But the only problem is it kind of messed our season up from there on out.
All right, this is Tyson Chandler with us on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket, the new object of our affection with Mavericks basketball. And just, you know, it's fascinating to see how a team can get after it defensively if they can funnel a guy to a big man who funnel everyone into the big man who then rejects them and sends them away. Talk to us a little bit about the Charlotte thing, though, because when this trade happened this summer, you may think it's weird, but we're all like, really? Isn't he kind of broken down a little bit? I mean, honestly, you kind of, that last year New Orleans was weird health-wise, the Charlotte season, and we're like, I know he's young, but he's always kind of broke, and we're not, you know, you want a guy to be out there every night. Now you look pretty darn healthy, but describe that run for you.
I mean, that's completely understandable. You know, Ben, when I went to Charlotte, I was still injured. During the New Orleans season, you know, I probably should have had surgery during the course of the season. You know, and that was the whole trade, come back and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But because of how close I was with my teammates and all of that, I wanted to fight with them on the court and still give us the opportunity to win. So I basically played that entire season hurt. And then summer came around and I finally had surgery. And then they traded me. And then so basically I was a couple months out of surgery coming into training camp. I think I had surgery like 3 months after I came into training camp, so I wasn't ready to play.
Uh-huh.
But then coming to a new team and, you know, having young players and you know, the organization saying, oh, you know, how much you can help these young players, you know, we really need you on the court. Me being the type of person that I am, I just jumped right out there. Probably wasn't the best of decisions. Probably should have gave my body a little more time to heal, but, you know, I got out there, I tried to play, and then because of that, you know, I had an up-and-down season because I really wasn't over my injury, so I kept having nagging injuries, and if you know anything about an injury, if you get out there too early, then you end up hurting something else because you're compensating
sure.
and all this kind of stuff. So that's what happened with my season last year, and then the same thing in Charlotte, you know, they wanted to make different moves. I really don't, you know what the...
But do you find you have a chronic issue, or is it just a number of little things, or what do you normally deal with health-wise?
I mean, I deal the same as any other guy who gets, you know, banged up through the course of an NBA season. But those 2 years was really just dealing with, you know, I had a really tough ankle injury that I had to have surgery on, and that was, you know, giving me problems throughout the year, throughout my foot. And that was something that, like, I should have gave it a little more time to rest on because, you know, I didn't have the proper time to rehab and get my explosion back and, you know, become the player that everybody knew me as. I was out there basically playing on one leg.
Yeah. All right. Let's stop talking basketball. I don't know about you, but I've got a couple of non-basketball things
got
I want to know about.
That, huh?
Well, no, I could do it forever, but we don't get to talk to you that often. So I have to ask some generic white guy questions, if you don't mind.
Oh, yeah. I love those.
Straight out of Compton, huh? you're a Compton guy. We you know, all the generic white guys with iPods full of
your bio has
full of Eazy-E.
Yeah, full of yeah.
Your bio has conflicting info because you're from Compton, supposedly.
City of Compton.
If
City
we are to believe this,
and we've been to Compton,
but it says he likes to go back to his family farm in the off season.
Yes.
So I just didn't see a lot of farms when I was in Compton.
No, you don't see that.
So how does this work?
There's no cows or chickens or anything just marching through Compton.
No.
Unless it's at Golden Hill.
Where's this? Right.
That's around the corner from my
chickens
high school.
Chickens are smart not to march through
yeah,
Compton.
Yeah, you don't want
to
do that. But no, I mean, there's some pigeons, though, that they flip out there. But, you know, that's just when the law enforcement comes in town.
Right, right.
But... No, I was born on a farm in Hanford, California. That's like right out, not far from where Deshaun Stevenson is from. We're about an hour away from each other, and I was raised there, and then I moved into San Bernardino and into Compton. Like,
okay.
Junior high.
How old were? Okay, was that pretty eye opening?
Oh, definitely a different experience.
Yeah.
Because I went from being you know small town farm boy, everybody likes everybody, you know, no ma'am, yes sir. Leave your door open and all that to coming into the inner city, into the projects, and then having my bike stolen on, you know, the first day I was there. So it was definitely a different experience for me.
Wow. So did you have to pick a side or anything? There's another generic white guy question.
Yeah, you basically...
Between what are the two sides?
Right, Bigfoot gang.
Red and blue.
Wow. That is the most generic one.
Come on.
Are you a blood or a Crip, Tyson? Which one?
Yeah, I know. If I'm going to walk out of this radio interview and just
Compton's
get...
reputation precedes itself. Let's not act like it doesn't.
Why don't you ask him if he ever bought a 40?
I mean, if I'm going to walk out here and get it, I'm either going to get arrested or shot. I mean, two things are going to happen. There's nothing good out of that
question. Like, wow. I feel like we're all friends here. We actually did. We took a field trip
to
Compton.
Yes, we went to Compton.
You guys went to Compton?
Yeah,
seriously.
So we can buy a 40-ounce.
He bought a
what?
40.
Yeah. And
where?
A Lucy.
Where'd you guys go?
We tried to buy a Lucy on, what was the main street?
Alondra?
What's the main street?
Alondra is a long street that goes
through.
All
right, through. Well, that's probably the only
main street that you can kind of...
Believe
you
it or not,
down
the further down we went,
it
the
got
more...
a little sketchy.
Right, so yeah. I was like, you know what, let's stop at this convenience store right
here.
Yeah,
you want to stay on the main streets that can get on freeways. If you start going down the side streets...
No. We didn't make any left or right-hand turns.
I
stayed in the vehicle idling waiting for him to come.
That ain't what you want to do.
Sweating.
Yeah.
Were you there?
You definitely look like a cop coming through there. I know, that didn't look good. Did you two coming in there?
Yeah.
You look like an undercover.
Looks totally right out of an 80s movie or something.
Yeah, they see me as a snitch.
Yeah,
so
they
I'm
see
the
you.
Undercover.
Nah, yeah. He's going to try to come over here and try to get us and lure in. He got his boy in the car.
Yeah,
it
was talking
happening.
Into the phone.
How old were you during, when was like the riots and stuff like that?
Oh, man. I was young then. When did the riots happen?
I don't know.
92?
90-something, right?
90.
Well, after
so
OJ, so 95.
No, it was before
or
that, 95. Though. It was before the riots happened. Was that before or after those? Not Rodney King.
Well, Rodney King.
Okay,
Rodney
we have to talk about which riots.
Yeah.
I beg your pardon.
Yeah, come on now. OJ didn't start a riot. No. Just, we won that.
No, it was...
Oh, yeah, OJ
was
a riot.
We won. Silly. Reginald Denny was the Rodney King thing.
And
okay.
OJ
right,
didn't care about
did we
that.
Go to
people.
That?
We won.
Yeah, we won. Yeah, I'm still waiting on my OJ prize. Waiting in the mail. Come get it. We won something. I don't know. I don't know what it was we won. But
we got away with murder? It's great.
Yeah,
I beg your pardon.
You might not say, we won. What did we win?
My Compton history is very shaky.
It's very sketchy. You might not want to go back now.
No, I learned that.
So what were you doing during all
that? It's a good thing
it's
radio, though. They can't see your face.
Oh, the little red? I'm sorry. Huh?
Let's go to the riots.
Warm
where
of blood.
Where were you during that?
During the riots, I wasn't looting.
No?
Nope. My mom kept me in the house. Yeah.
Mm, that's unfortunate.
Here's what
I didn't get a flat screen or nothing like that.
Running down the street with a sofa?
Yeah.
All right. The major growth spurt, how old are we talking? Because... we've seen a lot of 7-footers that don't look like they can keep their balance on 1 foot if they had to and kind of handle things. I don't know what's the precise
secret.
Well, the coveted growth spurt, there must be a secret to it where you can still chew gum and run at the same time, right?
Yeah. I was always big. I never really hit a growth spurt. I was just always big and always.
So you're like in fourth grade and you're taller than everybody?
Yeah, I was in the sixth grade. I was 6'4".
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I always grew 3 inches over the summertime. So I mean, during the fifth grade, I was probably at the beginning of it. I might have been like 5'11" or something. Sixth grade, 6'4", seventh grade, 6'7", eighth grade, 6'10", and then I went into high school at 6'10", and then kind of grew a couple inches. I grew an inch in the league, too.
So chances were pretty good you were going to get a scholarship somewhere.
Yeah, it was looking
pretty
bright. You
felt pretty good about things.
Yeah, my future was looking pretty bright. As I was continuing to grow, and I still kept my speed and everything.
Yeah, and did you play any other sports?
Yeah, I played football. I played a lot of football. I played receiver, quarterback, defensive end, safety.
How old?
I played football more than basketball. I started playing football. I didn't stop until high school, until I got a little too big. 6'10 receiver wasn't a thing.
Yeah. Too many of those in the league right now?
Yeah. I
just actually, throw the fade, though.
A guy named Wild Bill ended my football career.
How'd that happen?
I ran a slant and didn't realize how tall I was that summer that I grew and went over the middle and tried to leap for a catch, and then he hit me in my stomach. And I took off my helmet and threw it at him and walked off, and it was like, I said, I quit.
That was it, huh?
Yeah. Coach was like, you ready to go back in? Nah, it's not happening.
I'm going to go play basketball, Coach, if you don't mind.
He hit me hard as I don't know what.
That's awesome. All right, Tyson Chandler with us on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. Listen, it's been real nice meeting you. Thanks for putting up with all my ridiculous questions.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll...
Have you heard those all before, though?
Huh?
All those type questions?
Oh, I thought you were talking about like a group or something. You said all before. I'm like, who is that?
What are they saying?
Like, yeah, he said that. I'm like, what's that?
Yeah, they're top of the charts these days.
Does little light-skinned boys who sing look just like you? all before.
This is what we would ask if we could end the interview
I've
with.
I never listened to the
bar. This is, you know, of course you'd put your name where that blank line is, but right. You would have figured that out, right?
Oh, yeah. No, this is blank.
Right, that would have been silly for us to hand you that and expect that, though.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Would you read that for us?
All right, this is Tyson Chandler, and I never listened to the Bob and Dan show on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
See that?
Brilliant.
Yay.
Perfect.
Well done.
Thanks, man. Great to meet you.
All
great
right,
to have you on the team, too.
My pleasure.
You going to re-up here or what?
Huh? Yeah, we'll see about all that.
Let's make the decision right now.
The decision?
This is like LeBron right
well,
now.
Well, I'm going to take my talents down to... And then that's where the pause comes.
Yeah, at least you...
Down to the practice court.
Yeah. At least you learned how not to do that last summer.
Yeah.
Did you watch?
Yeah, you don't think...
I did watch, actually. I was a part of the decision.
Do you think you'll have the same TV special next year when you announce where you're going?
No, nobody really wants to watch me. I don't grab that much attention. It wouldn't get much ratings. So wouldn't have much to donate to the Boys and Girls Club.
All right, man. We'll talk to you next time.
All right, thank
there
you.
There he is, Tyson Chandler,
Tyson.
Your Dallas Mavericks.
Tyson?